The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Dr. Jim Doty joins us from Chapman to talk about the economic forecast for Southern California and the country in light of, well, coronavirus. Recently, there was a piece in the Orange County Business Journal saying coronavirus to cost U.S. $540 billion, and they cited my guest as being one of those who came up with those numbers, a university economist from Chapman. Jim Doty, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Well, it's great to be on the show again, Larry.
Well, this is strong news to hear, but what can you say? There are some who say things will ultimately rebound and things could come back even stronger sometime, but what are you looking at?
Well, first of all, those numbers that you cited in the Orange County Business Journal, those were projections made before the lockdown was announced. We have recently put together new calculations based on where we are now, the picture is even bleaker than what we projected a month ago. Our newest projection calls for in the nation, not California and Orange County. Actually, California and Orange County will be even harder hit. But for the nation, we're now looking for the first quarter real GDP dropping only 3% since it hit late in March. So it was only one part of the first quarter. But the second quarter, we're looking at a drop of almost 20%. Specifically, we have a decrease of 17% in real GDP, which is enormous. And it's based on the fact that we believe that the most impacted services sectors like travel and tourism and restaurants will decline by 60% the income generated in those areas. Less impacted sectors in the services area will drop by 30%. We also see manufacturing declining on average 15%. All of those numbers will be multiplied as a result of a multiplier. The question you ask is, when are we going to come out of this? That's an interesting question, a difficult one, we are projecting that the lockdown will end in the second quarter. The second quarter includes basically April, May, and June. So our hope is that by the end of June, the economy will be open again, but it will take time to open, and many small businesses in particular, in all likelihood, will never reopen.
Some very stark news to share with us. Are there any highlights? I mean, we've seen that may have some positive things down the line. We're told that, for example, in the area of innovation, the rules have been rewritten. The constraints of government regulation have been lifted, that in the area of biotech and responding to this crisis, the most creative things have happened and the restraints have been off to move quickly. What about that is something to look at?
That's a great point, Larry. No question that there's always a silver lining around every cloud. And there is this innovation that's going on. I'm feeling it myself. My classes at Chapman University are now need to be taught online. In my class, econometrics, arguably the most difficult or challenging class in a business major, highly mathematical, I need to teach it online. I'm using a new outreach call, Panopto, and I think in many respects, even when we are back to normal, I've learned a whole lot about how to improve the teaching of econometrics, because now I can supplement the more traditional approach to education by using innovation. For example, if a particular student is having trouble keeping up, In addition to my lectures, they can now download one of my files that I've saved on Panopto. So that's just one small example of what's happening nationwide across many, many different industries. So this will have this lockdown will the economy will reopen, but in many respects it will be a much different economy and will have repercussions for years to come.
We are talking with Chapman University economist James Doty. He is sharing some of the numbers with us. What is one thing we don't know is the timing on returning, as you mentioned. And then I read a survey that was done that says that 30% of people say they might be reluctant to go back out to restaurants, for example, for up to 5 months after this is easing. So there is a lag factor that we haven't, that I at least am just becoming aware of now.
I would discount those. There's a herd mentality. I think it's part of the panic that currently is in place. But as news increasingly comes out that or becomes more available, we've reached a turning point, and especially the summer months. Recent Chinese study that showed that warmer weather, higher humidity will dramatically reduce COVID-19's infection rate significantly. I think that that business will return, but it will be slow, and there will be repercussions. As I pointed out, many businesses will not reopen, and unemployment will come down, but it won't come down to 2.5-3% anymore. I might point out on the plus side, if I could give any good news, I truly believe that we are nearing an inflection point, mainly because of the warmer weather, not because of the lockdown. Assure everyone out there that we are not going to reach the 56% infection rate that Governor Newsom projected in the letter that he wrote to President Trump. That assumes a geometric increase, a doubling every 4 days.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe a slowing will occur in the very near future. And I am confident that by the end of June, the end of the second quarter, the lockdown will be over. But as you point out, and I would agree, it will take a while before the economy gets back to full steam.
All right, short answers, because we have very little time, and you're very thorough. You mentioned models. Yes, they're using models just as you use data points to put together what they have. But some are critical that we don't have all the information to set the models up right. That, for example, China was not forthcoming in giving us the data we needed. And there's some questionable data about their lack of cases now. It doesn't seem to fit the model to go away exactly 100%. So should we be concerned that the modeling that they did on this, just as you do economic modeling, doesn't it have to be built on strong foundations?
Absolutely. You're right on, Larry. I'll give you just one example. I know we have to keep this short. As I'm looking at the daily infection rate, so that is the number of COVID cases that are rising, and right now they are rising exponentially, much of that is because we are now diagnosing more. There are more kits to diagnose COVID-19. So it's not because more people have it. It's because we're doing a better job reporting it. And you're absolutely right. Globally, the statistics coming out of Italy, for example, China, Korea, Japan, especially China and Italy, they're not the kind of data you can rely upon, and as a result, it's putting restraints on informed public policy decisions.
All right, talking about informed public policy decisions, there is so much focus on the day-to-day by our government in Washington. Take the 10,000-foot level. What kinds of things can they do to help bring back the economy, say, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days out?
I think the more, as this ends, the greater that government can kind of disengage, and as you pointed out earlier in this discussion, allow the freedom and flexibility that's enhancing opportunities for innovation, especially in healthcare delivery and in the approval of drugs, fast-tracking that. That's probably the best thing the government can do. One other thing I would add is when this flu season is over in the summer, and then we're now getting the fear is returning with the fall months coming up with December and the height of the flu season and the potential return of COVID-19. I think it's imperative that government do a better job in mandating or requiring that people get flu shots. Even if we don't have a vaccine for COVID-19, what we can do to just reduce the flu, which kills more people, infects 50 million people in the U.S. on average every year, kills something like 20,000, 30,000 people per year. Whatever we can do in a simple way, requiring flu shots, would have a dramatic increase in the health of our nation next year in responding to at least the flus that are current, the viruses that are currently out there.
I want to go back, James Doty, Chapman University economist, to something you mentioned earlier, and you mentioned it twice. Some small businesses may not ever return. That's a shame. Is there any role for government to play in fixing that? Because this was not a voluntary action. This was a government-ordered shutdown of one's business. Could one not argue that the hands are with the government that destroy these businesses?
Yeah, but government has. We have a $2 trillion COVID emergency package that's been approved, and much of that money. I know there's a lot of pork. There's a lot that can be argued against the way it was ultimately approved. But quite a bit of that money is going to small businesses. So if small businesses have the wherewithal and believe that their businesses could return to profitability, they should have access to funding that would get them through at least the additional costs of getting their businesses back running again.
All right, with that, we'll leave it there. We're just simply out of time. We'll have to have you back. It is a story that causes folks to have to redo their models week to week when we learn new things. I want to thank you very much.
It's a new world out there, Larry.
Chapman University economist James Doty with us talking about the financial impact. What was that number one more time you're projecting on the national economy?
Well, the big number is that, and this is just hot off the press, we're looking at a second quarter decline in real GDP of 17%.
All right. Thank you much. Jim Doty, appreciate you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, Larry. Anytime. Bye.